Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, it is good to be together in this hot, sweaty week that we're about to enter into. May the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all as we turn to his word now. We are starting a new series in the Gospel of John. I'm very excited. It will go for a while. We'll have some breaks along the way, I'm sure. But I'm just looking at it right now, as Cynthia and I were talking, that this is like an opportunity for, let's have a summer with Jesus. Let's just spend the summer with Jesus, okay? We're going to hang out with him and his gospel. We're going to, maybe for some of us, remember our first love that maybe has grown lukewarm or dim. And so we're going to see Jesus and be with him and experience being in his presence. Maybe for some of us, it will be the first time taking a look at Jesus and hanging out with him and sitting before him and listening to him and seeing who he is. Maybe it'll be a time for us where we know all the facts, we know the details, we know all the Bible stories, but maybe this time, for the first time, the Lord will open our eyes and open our ears that we would see and hear him by faith and truly know him. We've just come through our study in Lamentations, and as I laid before you all my desire to go through that book and my reasoning why I think the Lord wanted us to go through that book was we've come through a season of deep trial, all of us. And I know we're not done with it. I know we're still through COVID and all kinds of things that have gone on in this world and all the impacts of that. And we wanted to pause to truly lament, to truly spend time before the Lord and say, Lord, this has been hard, to pour out our honest feelings and our sorrows before him, to be truthful with him, and yet turn to him and know that his love endures forever. Great is his faithfulness to us, and asking him to restore us to himself. Having gone through a period of lament, and you do not need to be done with your period of lament, that's okay. Maybe you didn't even want to enter in if this wasn't the right time for you to lament. That's okay too. But just collectively as a body, as we've gone through that, we'll now go into the Gospel of John, the proclamation of Jesus Christ. I want to remind you that a couple years ago, a group of you ladies went through a Bible study on John called Looking at the Life of Jesus by Rebecca Pippert. And it just goes through large sections of the entire book of John as a Bible study. It's a short book, but it's really, really well done. And I'd encourage, if you were part of that study, maybe break this book back out again and kind of re-look at it and go through it again as we go through the book of John. And if you haven't had it, it's a small book, I'd encourage you to go along with us as we're going through the book of John. Looking at the Life of Jesus by Rebecca Pippert. Maybe we could have a reference to that somewhere on some web thing, technology thing. It'd be awesome. So, yeah, I just encourage you in that. And then also, I've ordered, and so hopefully they'll be here next week, but I don't know, just little individual Gospels of John. Just in the ESV, which is a translation we're going through. And I just want to hand them out to everyone who will just put them in the bulletin or just give them to everyone. And just it's something, I know we all have our Bibles and we have our phones and all those things. And we have incredible, praise be to God, accessibility to the Word of God. But just a little inexpensive booklet that's just the Gospel of John, that maybe it's just a fresh way for us to be reading through this summer as we go about our business and we go about, that was fun, and we go about our vacations. Yes. Yes, yes, one second. Yes, definitely, definitely, yes. Oh, that's awesome. Perfect. Thank you, Anita. Thank you. Yes, Peter. to wear something more casual. This is how I go to the beach, actually. So it's that's highly controversial, Peter. That's really controversial. Because if I get more casual, then they'll get another request next week if I could dress up. So it's I will cut one sleeve off and one half of the tie off and be all things to all people. But yeah, just to have a little booklet for us to be reading as we go along in the book of John. It's also a great little booklet if you're sitting around and you're getting into a conversation with someone. Here you go. It's like a dollar a piece. So here you go. You can kind of hand it off to people also. Anita mentioned a TV series called The Chosen. I know many of you have seen it or have been watching part of it. Which channel is it on? There's so many now. Peacock Network. Okay. Separate. Yes. And then they also, I think, broadcast it or stream it. Okay. Yep. Yeah, and it's a series on the life of Jesus. And I know that there's been lots of those done over the years, movies and things like that. I would just say this one is very well done. It's very, very well done. And it's a great chance to spend time with Jesus, to walk with Jesus in a medium that most of us are used to now, obviously, the visual medium. So thank you. Thank you, Anita. Yeah. Okay, with all of that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Good, good Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is God. We thank you that he took on humanity. And as he dwelt among us, Lord, fully God, fully man, he not only showed us who you are, revealed your name, your character, your nature. But he also loved us so much that even though we had rejected you as our Father, he went to the cross to pay for our sins, to redeem us, to save us out of our sinfulness, oh God. That we wouldn't try to be good, because we can't, but we would trust solely upon the goodness of Jesus. So, Lord, I just pray, especially as we start this series, that we would see and hear Jesus. That we would turn our eyes upon Jesus, Lord. We would sit at your feet, and we would listen to you and hear from you, and that we would see you not as we think you are, not as we've heard other people tell us you are, that are distorted and vague, but that we would know you and see you, Jesus. Would you please lead us in this time and through this walking with Jesus, O Lord? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, would you turn with me, please, to the book of John. It is the fourth book in the New Testament. It is one of four Gospels, which are accounts of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. The other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have a lot of similarities. Now, they're very, very different in what they choose to put in, but there's a lot of similarities in the structure and the form. They're written for different purposes. They're written by different people. But John's gospel is quite different. He covers a lot of events that are not covered in the other gospels. He has a different kind of structure and way of writing than the other gospel writers. He tells us at the end of the book, which we'll get to, obviously, a ways from now, that the reason he has written this is that so we would know that Jesus is the Savior. So that's the purpose in this. As we read this, we wouldn't just know with our heads, but we would know in our hearts that Jesus is the Savior, and we would trust him, and we would believe him, We would come to him by faith that we would be saved. So let us start. This morning we'll be looking at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. John 1, verses 1 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried, "This is he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is God's word. The Gospel of John begins with, "In the beginning." In the beginning was the Word. And this is a very intentional callback to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. It's calling us back to the origins of God's creation and who God is in the beginning. And these first two verses here, John is telling us that the Word, which is, as we'll see as this goes on here, is Jesus. And he's saying that the Word is God. Putting these two together, the Word, Jesus, is God in verses 1 and 2. Starts with, as I said, "In the beginning was the Word," referencing back to Genesis chapter 1. "And the Word was with God." So we're thinking here, we're going back to the beginning of creation. And the Word, as it goes on in this passage, which makes clear, is Jesus, was with God in the beginning. Jesus is part of creation. He is the one who is the creator also. And we'll see that in the next section in a few verses here, that he is the one who has made all things. So we have the Word, Jesus, was in the very beginning. We have the Word, Jesus, was with God in the very beginning. And so far, what he's telling us is Jesus wasn't just a person who came along 2,000 years ago. He didn't just start being. He has always been, that he is God. That's what John is saying here, that he is God. And in fact, the very next phrase, he goes on to say, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is God. Now, maybe that just is so like, yeah, no kidding, okay, we get that. But, that is profound, okay? There's no other religion that points to a human being, as we'll see in a moment, and says that they are both human and they are God. Okay? There are some paganistic religions that begin to take things with the king and say he's got like a semi-divinity, but in no way is he the God who takes on human flesh. So, whatever you think about Jesus, according to the Bible, according to God's word, he isn't just a good prophet. He isn't just a good philosopher. He isn't just someone who had some really awesome ideas that if we just followed his ways, the world would be such a better place. Those things have truth in them. But they absolutely fail to grasp the fundamental reality that he's not just one of many good teachers. He's not even just the best teacher of morals or life or anything. That he is God, fully and completely God. The Word was God, and he was in the beginning. The second section in this passage, coming off of in the beginning now, is the Word and creation, verses 3 through 8. So first, the Word and God. Now, the Word, oh, I forgot, I'm so sorry. The outline that I'm following here is from Dr. Gary Burge. He is a dean and professor of New Testament at Calvin Theological Seminary. This is his outline we followed. Like 10 years ago, I taught this passage, and we had a slightly different outline, but I just want to give credit where credit is due. Dr. Gary Burge, a dean and New Testament professor at Calvin Theological Seminary. The second section, verses 3 through 8, is the Word and creation. So we see in verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus made everything. So when we see in Genesis chapter 1 where God speaks and everything comes into being, his very word is the action in creation. And now Jesus is the Word who is the creator. He wasn't just watching God as some angel or something create. He is God. He is the second person of the Trinity, one God in three persons, who was the creator, was part. He is wrapped up in the Godhead as the creator of all things. I think that's so worthy of our time of reflection. Jesus created everything. Right? We often think if someone is the creator, then what they've created belongs to them. It's theirs. We also think of a master craftsman creating in love, creating beautifully. And so God has made all things, but as we see in creation, kind of the culmination, the climax of his creation is the second part of day six, which is humans, which is us. And we, the only parts of creation that are made in the image of God, male and female, he made them in his own image. And so the fact that Jesus made each and every one of us says that you are beautiful. You are lovely. You are created by your loving Father with such attention to detail. And he has made you lovely. Sin has corrupted us. Our bodies are weak. We get disease. We make bad choices that hurt us and hurt others. Our bodies are now finite, that we do not have access to the tree of life now. Though in eternity, we will have eternal life. but that he has made you good. I know so many of us, and I think this is easy to say, but especially the younger generations, it is so hard to see ourselves as beautiful, as awesome. We so often tend to think such awful things about ourselves, that we don't like ourselves, that we're not good, that everything is just wrong with us. And things can be wrong. I'm not denying that. I'm not denying the physical difficulties, the emotional and mental difficulties, spiritual difficulties, not denying any of that. But that we should stop and say, look at the beautiful creation God has made. And look, God has made you. And you are precious in his sight. What's that old saying? God don't make no junk. Right? Right? Please take that. Especially younger generations, please take that. God made you in love. And you are wonderful. God has made, Jesus has made all things. We get an allusion here we get the first mention here of the forerunner to come before Jesus. We see John is sent before Jesus to come and announce to the world, the king is coming, the king is coming. Prepare your hearts, make way. And then when Jesus came, it says in verse 7, he came as a witness to bear witness to the light. You remember often at Christmas time, we read from Isaiah, where it says that the people were living in a land of darkness. And unto this land of darkness, representing sin and confusion and evil and just the absence of God, says God sends a light. And the light is Jesus. So into our world, which we had turned away from God, he sends Jesus as a light to shine in the darkness, to push back the darkness and bring truth of who he is and who we are and our need for him. And his desire, again in verse 7, as he was bearing witness to the light, John's bearing witness to the light of Jesus, his desire was that we would all believe through him. John wasn't the light, but he was the witness to the light. And then in verse 9, the true light comes into the world. And even though the world was made through him, as we just talked about, the world didn't know him. He came to his own, but his own people would not receive him. Jesus, as the light, comes into the world and reveals the Father to us, declares that he is God the Son to us, calls us to be kingdom people, proclaims the truth of the kingdom, goes to the cross to make the way for us to enter into the kingdom by faith in Jesus. And we said, no, thank you. We did not receive him. We came and we rejected him. We laughed at him. We thought he was crazy. We thought he was stupid. We thought he was weak. Many thought he was bad because they did not like what he had to say. And so though he is the light and invited us to come to him, we did not receive him. But here is the hope and the promise in verse 12. To all who do receive him, what does that mean to receive him? We talk, pausing the first comma in verse 12 there, to all who received him. What does that mean? We talk about, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you heard that kind of language before? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Remember, as a young Christian, I always kind of wrestled with that phrase. Like, what does that mean to receive Jesus Christ? He is. Who am I to say to the king, yes, I shall receive you now? Right? The president of the United States calls you up. Mom answers the phone. The president's on the phone? I shall receive him now. I shall do that. I deem him worthy to be in my presence. That is fine. Yes, I will acknowledge that he is the president of the United States. No, he is. And that's such a minor example, of course, right? So I always wrestle with the idea of I receive him. No, I bow before him. I confess him. I trust and believe in him. But receive is in the scriptures. It's right here in verse 12 of the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12. To all who received him. But I still wrestled with, what does that mean? But here's where the Bible is so great. To all who received him, comma. In other words, if you're wondering what that means, just read the next phrase in my sentence, John says. To all who received him, comma. What does that mean? Who believed in his name. That's what it means to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. It means to believe in his name. And to believe in the name of God is to believe in who he is. It's his character. It's his nature. It's his persona. It's who he is. And to believe is not just an intellectual duty. It's not just saying, I believe 2 + 2 = 4. Or I believe whatever, you know, I believe a fact. I believe calculus is really hard, right? It's not just a fact, it's not just an opinion. To believe is to trust, to put your hope in. I know we've used this illustration before. Am I going to mess up the camera? Probably. I hope it's not. Oh, well. You know? And this is like a simple, and this is, I know, like a cliche, it's so simple, right? But I can say, I believe that chair will hold me, and I can walk away. That's an intellectual belief. That's an intellectual statement. It's a chair. It's got 4 legs. It's made of wood. Yes, I'm heavy, but I should still be able to sit in that chair, and it should hold me. I believe that, and then I walk away. That's not biblical belief. Biblical belief is, I believe that chair will hold me, and this is how much I believe it. And I sit down in it, and I put my hope and my trust in it. I'm putting my life into it. That's what belief means here. So what does it mean to receive Jesus? It means to believe in his name, to trust and hope in who Jesus says he is. And who is he? That's why we're going through John. That's why we're going through it here. We've learned a little bit already, right? Who is Jesus according to the first 2 verses? He's God. Who is Jesus according to verses 3 through 8? He's the Creator. And so it's this God that we are called to believe in, to trust in. And when we do, what happens? Well, there's another comma in verse 12, and the sentence goes on that says, what happens when we believe in him? He gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of the man, but born of God. When we trust in Jesus, we are born again. That language comes from John chapter 3. We'll see that. We are made anew. We are made children of God. We are saved. We inherit eternal life. We are adopted by God. We are grafted into the vine. So many illustrations, and many of those come from the book of John as we go through it, and we will see. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be saved. Well, I skipped a section, sorry. That's fine. Verses 9 through 14. I was just so excited to get into verse 12 there. I went right through it. Verses 9 through 13 is the word and revelation. So this is what we're talking about here. God made himself known through Jesus. Okay? He made himself known. We haven't seen God. We can't see God. God is spirit. That's part of his nature. That's part of who he is. And so he sends Jesus, fully God, to be, as we'll see in the next and last section, incarnate, to take on humanity, to live before us, that we would see the Father. We would learn and know the name, the character of who God is when we look at Jesus. He reveals to the world who God is. There's other revelation of God. Romans chapter 1 says that all of creation displays the invisible qualities of God. You can look at creation, and if you study it enough, you can see some of the character of God and its intricacies and its grandeur. But God's fullest revelation is in his Son becoming human, taking on flesh, and revealing the Father to us. Fourth and final section of this passage, verses 14 through 18, the Word and incarnation. Maybe that's not a word maybe we're super familiar with now, but incarnation means to put on human nature. It means that Jesus is God from all eternity past. Because he is God, as he's declared in verses 1 and 2, because he is God, he is from eternity past. There was never a time when there was no God the Son. No time when there was no God the Father. No time when there was no God the Spirit. God is eternal. But when the appropriate time came in God's sovereign will, which, by the way, is an amazing study in and of itself, to look at the time that God chose to have Jesus be incarnate. It's a unique crossroads in the history of the world that's just awesome. Only God could do that. But when the appropriate time came, God the Son took on human flesh and became human. Didn't get rid of his divinity. He was fully God and fully human. And that's incarnation. Come and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Not as spirit now, but in human flesh. That he is incarnate. Right here, verse 14. And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What do you think about when you hear the word glory? Glory is like a really, feels like a really awesome word, and it is, right? Right? It's glorious when your team wins. Did the Red Sox win last night? We did. Okay, excellent. We beat the Yankees. Yeah, right? Awesome. Right? We play again today. It's glorious, right? I was listening to a podcast that had nothing to do with this, but they were remembering back in 2002 when the Patriots were having their first Super Bowl, right, against the Rams, right, and the unlikely comeback that they had, right, and that was just glory. I remember that moment so well. Yeah. It's exactly right. You weren't even alive then. You were studying that, huh? I loved it, man. Good job. That's right. Now that's a real Boston fan right there. Yes. Good for you. I love that. It was glorious, right? We think of glory. Glory is big and it's huge, and it is. And really, in scriptures, glory refers to often weight, a heaviness to glory, because it's so powerful. C.S. Lewis wrote a wonderful essay called The Weight of Glory. Highly commended to everyone. Wonderful. So here he's talking about, oh, we've seen the glory of the Word become flesh. We've seen the glory of Jesus take on human flesh. But throughout the scriptures, they're constantly saying that the pinnacle of Jesus' glory, the highest moment of Jesus' glory, is the cross. It's the cross. Say, what is the glory of Christ? It's his death on a cross. Now, I think not many of us would look at that and say, glorious. Glorious, Lord. Right? Maybe we think of his birth when the choir of angels burst forth into song. And that is glorious. But the cross? It seems to our eyes to be the least glorious moment, not only of Jesus' life, but of all of human history. But the Bible says it was glorious. Because God the Son, who took on human flesh to reveal to us the Father, to be the light into our world, who created us out of love, he now, in love for each one of us, goes to the cross for us, to die for us, so that he could rescue us, because he loves us. There is the glory in Jesus' sacrifice and love for us. So I invite you, as we go into the summer, as we go into a study of the book of John, as we look at who Jesus is here, that he is God, that he is the creator, that he is, and Jesus is incarnate in human flesh also. Great mystery, right? Which if we want to talk more about, we can. Fully God, fully human. That he is the God who reveals the Father to us. So we go in, let us turn our eyes upon Jesus. Let us look full in his wonderful face. May the things of this world grow strangely dim as we gaze on his glory and his grace. Let us pray in our hearts that we would turn our eyes upon Jesus, that we would see him. Let's pray. Father God, show us the Son. Jesus, as we turn to you, may we see God, for you are God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. Thank you, Lord. Would you please turn our hearts, our ears, and our eyes to you, O Lord Jesus, that we would believe you, hear you, see you, love you, obey you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.